like I said, I don't know.
Oh, sorry, guys. Are y'all using the computer?
Yeah, yes. For like, okay. Yeah.
Who is that?
That's the intern.
Okay.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Can I get a podcast? It is Thursday, January 10th, 2019. Chris Gross. That is Chris Gross, my good friend and co-host. I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein. Chris, the Cowboys won a real live playoff game.
Yes, they did, and it's been long coming. Dak finally gets his first playoff win. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Coming up later in the podcast, we'll talk about a new dynasty budding in college football. Clemson. Oh, well, I guess we have a discussion then. But we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about the Cowboys, their win over the Seahawks. This was a much-needed win for both Dak, for Jason Garrett, for this franchise overall. And just kind of, I want to move on to the Rams here, but just real quickly, my thoughts on the game, you wouldn't have won it without Dak, and especially Dak using his legs.
Dak was sensational. He played really, really well. Obviously, a couple mistakes. He missed some throws. I think he had a pick in the game, didn't he?
He did, okay. But it probably should have been taken away. That was
sure.
When KJ Wright tackled. Yeah.
But no, this win was needed for all parties involved, for the fans to have confidence in the franchise going forward, for Jerry to have confidence, for better or worse, in Garrett going forward, and for the whole team. Much needed win. First one since 2014.
Yes. Am I crazy in thinking I have more confidence in them against the Rams than against the Seahawks?
No, if you're going to say the Saints, I would say absolutely not. But against the Seahawks were a bad matchup for them. I don't know if the Rams are as bad of a matchup, so I don't think that's too far out of the blue.
The Cowboys definitely got lucky with the Eagles winning over the Bears. And look, Cowboys fans, I know you don't like rooting for the Eagles. I know you don't like the Eagles.
Need to root for the Eagles.
You do, because this is the only way the Cowboys host another playoff game. And when Cody Parkey was going to kick that field goal, I said, no way he misses this.
He missed it.
But Cowboys fans need him to miss it, and he did. He double-doinked. Definitely more confident going into the Rams game than the Saints.
If the Cowboys make the NFC Championship game, it will be the first time since I have been a human on Earth that they have played in the Final Four of the NFL playoffs.
Is that true? When were you born?
I was born February of 96.
Holy cow. You're right.
Crazy.
It is. Look, I don't know why I felt going into the Seahawks game. I was like, I could see it either way. I could see a Cowboys win. I could see a Seahawks win. But going into the Rams game, dude, I'm like, I think this is a lock for the NFC title game. The Rams have a good offense, but the Cowboys against top five offenses this year, their defense has played really well.
Man, their defense has been up to the challenge. Obviously, we saw that against the Saints. Made Drew Brees look bad, honestly.
Yeah,
by far their best performance of the season. Sean McVay's really creative, so obviously he'll have some ideas. Todd Gurley, for my money, the best running back in the league, right up there with Zeke. So the Rams obviously present a unique challenge that I'm not sure that the Cowboys have probably faced before, but that's not to say that the Cowboys aren't up to the task.
You have a lot of interesting things in this game. You've got Gurley versus Zeke, Dak versus Goff, Garrett versus McVay. Now Zeke and Gurley, top two running backs in the league. But then once you get past that, it's very opposite. You've got Goff, top pick, all this, in the high-flying offense, Dak not. And then you've got Garrett, who's the exact opposite of Sean McVay. You don't really see any offensive creativity with the Cowboys.
Right, you know what's coming.
Yeah, and that's something I think has to change. Look, Dak, using Dak as a runner, I think is a must.
Well, Dak, with the new information we have about Dak's injury, are we sure that that's not going to hamper
Dude,
Dak?
You know what? I think now he practiced all week, so this wasn't anything that limited him at all this week. So I don't think you need to worry about it. But to me, dude, Dak is not a guy you can just count on to be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady make the throws.
No, I agree with you. I think Dak needs to be utilized in the running game more because that's where he's most effective. I'm just saying that I don't know if they're willing to give him the ball 8, 10, 12 times because of his injury and they want to try to just keep him fresh.
God
forbid Dak gets hurt and they have to go to Cooper Rush.
They have no chance.
No chance.
They have no chance. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We're talking about the Cowboys as they head into their NFC divisional matchup with the Rams. I've got faith in the defense, dude. I think Dak, Zeke, I think they're going to be able to pull it off. I don't know, man. I just have way more confidence in this one than I did in the Seahawks game, and I don't know why. I think maybe part of it is because I liked how they played against the Seahawks, especially in the end of the game, better than they did closing out the season. I will say one thing this team has to do this weekend. You need takeaways. That has been the one knock against this defense this year.
They've got to force some because you know that the Rams are going to get some yards on you. They might even put up some points. So, yes, they absolutely need to get some takeaways. I'm going to go on record saying this right now. I don't know if we're going to do this at the end of the segment. I'm picking the Cowboys to win this game. I really like the Cowboys matchup in this game. They obviously, like you said, need takeaways, need to be able to run the ball. For as absolute beast as a defensive tackle that Aaron Donald is, and their entire defensive line is, for that matter, they're not a very good run-stopping team, and that's where the Cowboys make their money.
Now, when it comes to Aaron Donald, it was Zeke or Dak, somebody was talking this week, and they said, whether it was Tuesday or Wednesday, they've said they've got a game plan for Darnold, which is something you have to have. What did I say?
Darnold.
I'm not talking about Sam Darnold. Aaron Donald. They've got a game plan ready for him, and I think they're going to be able to handle it. I'm with you. Let's go against the spread. Rams a 7-point favorite. Where are you going against the spread?
Easy cover, Cowboys.
Yeah. I think so, too. I and you know what? Here's the thing, too. I saw a Rams hype video today that was acting like their stadium is some rocking place.
That's where I was gonna say next, dude. There's another factor. That stadium will be minimum 50-50.
I was going to say, you'll have at least 50% Cowboys fans.
And more than likely, it'll be more than 50%. That stadium, it's not going to be a true road game for the Cowboys.
No. I think that's a big thing. And look, we've seen it this year. Part of it is the offense has issues when a crowd gets loud when they're on offense. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that this game. It's not going to be an issue.
It's going to be fun, man. The Cowboys are in the playoffs.
So he has the Cowboys. I have the Cowboys. When we talk to you next week, we're going to be getting you ready for the Cowboys in the NFC title game. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about the college football national championship game here on Can I Get a Podcast? Welcome back. Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Chris Gross. Some good news and some bad news.
Give it to me. Bad news first.
Bad news first. The college football season is over.
Crushed.
The good news is...
8 months.
Yeah. I think it's like 200-something days.
Awful.
I like 8 months sounds shorter than 200 days to me. It sounds like we'll get there much faster.
For sure.
The good news is Alabama lost.
Great news. Fantastic.
Clemson has now won 2 out of the last 3 national title games. Dude, let's talk about this game. I could have seen a blowout victory by Alabama, a close victory by Alabama, a close victory by Clemson.
Not a blowout by Clemson.
I was not expecting a 28-point win for Clemson.
I don't think anyone was. I mean, they obviously, from the kickoff, they punched him in the mouth, and Alabama wasn't really able to respond. Tua didn't look like himself.
No.
The Alabama offense was kind of all out of sorts. Pick six on the second play of the game. It was all Clemson all the time.
This is, and you can kind of relate this to the Cowboys, this shows you what a defense can do for a team. That totally set the tone. A pick six, something like that, you completely swing a score. What could have been a touchdown is now an easy touchdown the other way. It doesn't even have to involve your offense. And like you said, from the go, Clemson was the more dominant team in this game.
Every aspect. They were the more physical team. They moved the ball more. Their defense imposed their will. I mean, I mean, I think I'd speak for everyone else saying that this was a shocking result.
It was, and I want to get a moment that stood out to you from this game, but I'll tell you what mine was. I can't remember when in the game it was, but Alabama had a first and goal, somewhere like the 4 or the 5, and Clemson just stuffed them. First down, second down, third down. They decide on third down they're going to do a QB draw,
yes,
with Tua, and gets tackled behind the line. At that point, that's when you realized this isn't just a win for Clemson. This is a dominant performance, and like you said, they out-physicaled Bama in every way.
My signature moment from the game was pretty much already in hand,
yeah,
was the absolutely absurd Justin Ross catch.
Yeah.
Dude, are you kidding me? He's in the air. He brings it. I think it was his right. He brings it in with his right hand and grabs it before he gets out of bounds. Dude, Justin Ross, freshman. Trevor Lawrence, freshman. Travis Etienne, sophomore.
This is going to be a good team for a while.
At least until Trevor Lawrence declares for the draft in 21. I mean, they're ridiculous.
It's amazing to see that kind of performance out of, like you said, you've got three underclassmen, two who are true freshmen, which is, it's just amazing. A guy like Justin Ross, he's going to add more weight. He's only going to get better. And Trevor Lawrence looked like a guy who wasn't fazed by an Alabama defense.
Oh, and by the way, Clemson was also without their best player on defense.
And that's what's crazy, dude. They were missing three defensive guys, I think.
I think it was
Dexter Lawrence.
I think it
Lawrence.
Was Dexter Lawrence, and then it was another defensive guy and an offensive guy, but okay. those dudes were they were backups.
So
I believe.
Yeah. And just another moment from this game. How about Nick Saban calling for the fake field goal?
He saw that Clemson was defending the fake and still said go ahead with the fake. And at that point, that's when the game was over.
Yeah.
If Bama makes that field goal, it's a 12-point game. If Bama scores a touchdown there, it's a 7 or 8-point game. Dude, that swings the whole game. I think that's where the game was officially done.
I've not seen every game that Nick Saban has coached.
Neither.
This has to be the worst performance by a Nick Saban coached team ever.
I have... Okay, I said the same thing, but then Twitter people, thank you Twitter, love you, reminded me they lost to Louisiana Monroe at home like his first season.
Okay.
So,
did they have the level of players?
No, of course not. Of course not.
And that to me just shows how good Clemson is. When you get Nick Saban doing a panic fake field goal, and dude,
it was a panic.
It was a good call. The defense wasn't ready, and he was just like an inch or two shy. No, dude. This was a terribly executed. It was not good.
It was a poorly coached game by Nick Saban. Never thought I would say that. That being said, Chris Gross, with what you know now, those two teams play next Sunday. Neutral field, who you picking?
Clemson.
It's close for me, man. I think I'd pick Clemson, but it's really, really close.
Before going into the game, if you would have asked me, these two teams, and look, you can't get much more of a neutral field than that.
It's
like
sure, yeah.
2,000 plus miles away from each school. Going in, if you would have asked me, these two teams play 10 times. Who wins each of the 10 times? And this is Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. I would have said Bama, maybe 6 or 7. But I think I'm the other way. I think the way Clemson played, Bama would be lucky to get 4 wins out of 10 tries.
Dude, I still think I'd take Bama 6 out of 10.
How can you say that?
It's hard. No, like with what we know, obviously hard to say because that was an absolute dominant performance. But that is the worst game Bama will ever play against that kind of team. That's probably the best game Clemson will ever play against Bama. That's how I feel.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's true or not. It's just
But you do realize that Clemson totally took their foot off the gas at the end.
Sure.
Like this
sure.
could have been way worse. So I don't think this was something. And here's the other thing too, dude, that I saw where it was like, oh, the stats so heavily favored Alabama. That was really weird. I don't know what happened. That was total like disconnect between the brain and the tongue. But you don't get a lopsided, like, Clemson sneaked out one when they had the lesser stats and a 28-point win. It just doesn't happen that way. So Alabama, you can take all these stats that you want, but when you get in the red zone and you can't do anything, and Tua looks the most pedestrian he's looked since he's taken over, I don't think that's a coincidence. I mean, that has something to do with Clemson.
No, it absolutely Clemson had a fantastic game plan. Clemson, like we said, the best team from start to finish. I think Nick Saban, because he's the greatest coach of all time, would be able to make the necessary adjustments and would be able to beat him.
But he didn't.
No, he didn't. He didn't. But I think if he had a week again to prepare for the same team, he would.
Yeah,
but we'll never know, because that's not how college football is played.
But I think with that, when we're saying they play 10 times, you have to assume that it's not like 10 weeks in a row. You're going in fresh every week.
So in this theoretical, hypothetical, whatever other adjective you want to put, it's not they've played, we know what they're doing, we're going to build up.
In my hypothetical, you go into Monday night, you play the game, then you travel back in time.
Okay, and then
you
play the
refresh.
Game again.
That's the way I look at it.
Then in that scenario, yes, I'd take Clemson.
Okay, I see where you're coming from now. I think Nick Saban, one of the best college football coaches ever, if not the best, would be able to make adjustments if he had to play this team again. But for whatever reason, he just got railroaded in this one. And he was making panic calls. He couldn't figure out how to get Tua going. And did we talk about it? If you find a way to keep Tua from doing things, that's how you're going to stop Alabama.
Absolutely. He's the wild card.
Georgia show, that's how they did it. I mean, you know, that's how it works.
He's their wild card, man. That's probably the worst game I've seen Bama play in a very long time.
I hate that the college football season is over, but I like going into this just period of no football with not Alabama being the champion.
No doubt.
That's when it's the most unbearable. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast? We're going to close things out here on the pod like we always do. It's the 24-second shot clock. You have 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want. But once you hear that buzzer, yeah, time is up and it's time for you to stop talking. So I'll go first here, Jeffrey. Just wanted to say, new Bachelor came out on Monday. Haven't watched it yet. Got it DVR'd. Waiting for the schedules to align with me and my wife so we can watch it. Looking forward to a 3-hour season premiere, I believe.
Three?
I think it was 3 hours.
So I haven't seen them yet. I'm curious to see what the ratings were between that and the championship game.
Okay. Okay, 24 over. Can we just talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Both Disney properties scheduled on the same night. You had Bachelor on ABC, the national title game on ESPN. That, to me, is the dumbest marketing decision of all time.
A cardinal sin to put your two premier products up against each other.
We were talking up here, and people were telling me, well, it's kind of two audiences. And I was like, no, it's not, because if the national title game wasn't on, I can tell you what I would be watching. It's The Bachelor.
If you weren't working that night,
yeah.
Which one are you watching?
Oh, the title game.
Okay.
Bachelor's great to DVR, but we went way over. I'm just saying,
we digress.
That's the
we
dumbest
digress.
Decision ever. Dumber than Nick Saban's fake field goal, I have to say.
Can I? I'll do a 14 second shot clock here.
Okay.
So we can
get the offensive rebound.
Yeah, I got the offensive rebound. Okay. The Stars are 5-1-1 since Jim Leitz went nuclear bomb against Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. I believe Tyler Seguin has six goals in his last five games, and they're playing great right now. So thanks, Jim Leitz.
You put that all on him.
Yep.
Well, good for the Stars.
Yep.
I think you've had two Stars shot clocks in a row.
Whenever you go Bachelor, I'm going Stars. So
we gotta get out to a game sometime soon.
Yes.
I know we talked about it.
For those who listen, we have a very good podcast idea that we need to be able to execute at a Stars game. So if you have Stars tickets, hit us up.
Yeah, and we will give you a shout out. We might even invite you to come on the pod for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Let you do your own 24-second shot clock. But that's going to do it for today's episode. You know the spiel. You check us out, KESN1033.com, also on Apple Podcasts. If you do subscribe on Apple Podcasts, which you should do, leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Those 5-star ratings, so important. Please leave one of those for us. And you can find us on Twitter as well. JCoopJR27. You can find Jeffrey there. I'm at Chris's Gross on Twitter. Hit us up. Let us know what you think about the Cowboys, about Clemson. You can trash Jeffrey's Bama take there on Twitter as well. Jeffrey, is there anything else? So, here's how we have to spread the word about the podcast. You can only do so much through word of mouth, through subscribing. How else can people help us out?
Chris, you got to tell your friends. You got to tell your coworkers around the water cooler on a Monday morning. You got to tell your aunts, your uncles, your cousins.
Yeah.
But the one singular most important person to tell.
Your ex-wife.
Yep.
That's the one person. That's how this podcast is
literally
really
the one person.
Yeah. But he's Jeffrey. I'm Chris. We're getting out of here. We'll talk to you next week here on Can I Get a Podcast.
Okay, thanks.